Well, how do you know that you're advancing in years? Or to put it another way, how do you know that you've entered the university of the third age? Or to put it another way and more plainly, how do you know you're getting old? Well, I've got a couple of things that I might suggest, things that I've been thinking of. And perhaps you can just, you know, nudge the person next to you, or you can just think in your own mind what some of these things might mean for you. How do you know you're getting old? Well, everything hurts, and what doesn't hurt doesn't work. The gleam in your eyes is from the sun hitting your bifocals. You feel like it's the morning after, but you haven't been anywhere. Your children begin to look middle-aged. You finally reach the top of the ladder, but you discover that it's the wrong ladder. You sit in a rocking chair and can't get it going. Your knees buckle, but your belt won't. You're 17 around the neck, 42 around the waist, and 95 around the golf course. That's probably where I'm going. And your back goes out more than you do. How do we know that we're getting old? Psalm 71 is an incredible psalm, probably written, we think, by David in his older years. It's a powerful psalm of trust, of hope, and of enduring faith. And you can imagine David reflecting on his life, expressing his trust in God, despite his enemies, despite his age, despite his own sinfulness, and despite the passing of time. The psalm speaks deeply to us about what it means to trust God in every season of life. Imagine a tree with deep roots that has grown up over many years. No matter how fierce the storm, and we've had a few of those lately, the tree stands strong because its roots run deep. It's similar with our trust in God through our lives. We don't know what life will throw at us. We don't know the situations and the circumstances that we may face. But faith runs deep when we learn to trust in God. Psalm 71 can be broken down into a couple of sections, as it were, that show us how to trust in God, how to face the trials, and then perhaps how to share something of that from our own experience. Psalm 71, in the first four verses, is a cry of trust. In you, O Lord, I put my trust. Let me never be put to shame. As David is looking back over his years of life, of kingship, of his corporate life, of his public life, and of his private life, he starts with a declaration of trust. But it's not just a passive, trite statement. It's a trust that we know has been tested by circumstances. He says in verse 2, deliver me in your righteousness and cause me to escape. He doesn't just trust that God is able to save him, but he expects God to deliver him. Imagine, if you will, a person standing on a high cliff looking at a raging river below. There's a rope tossed to him by a rescuer, and the rescuer calls out, grab the rope and I'll pull you up. But the person hesitates, questioning whether, A, the rope will hold them, and actually whether the rescuer will be able to pull them to safety. And I'm sure as we reflect upon our lives, there'll be many circumstances and situations where that sense of trusting in God has felt like that. Grabbing on to a rope, even when everything around us suggests that the danger is too great or that the odds are stacked against us. But David begins this psalm with that declaration of trust, even as he reflects upon the toughest times that he has journeyed through. He can still say, Lord, I trust you. Deliver me. Rescue me. And you know, there are times in life when that is a simple whisper, not declared with any boldness, but with our very last ounce of strength. But we trust in a God who is faithful. And that's the second thing that this psalm says to us in verses 5 to 16. It's a testimony of God's faithfulness. And David reflects upon his life in that sense. For you are my hope, O Lord God, he says. You are my trust from my youth. David remembers how God has been with him since his youth. Perhaps that's another thing I should have said at the start, a sign of aging, when you get up to the top of the stairs or whichever room you've gone into and you can't remember why you've gone there. But David is looking back and remembering how God saved him from the lion and the bear, how God delivered him from the hand of Goliath, and how he protected him over the years from Saul. Despite all of that, despite his own sinfulness, despite these external influences that were trying to rid the world of David, David is still able to demonstrate God's faithfulness to him. Perhaps you can think of someone in your own life, your own experience, who's been through many different battles, maybe health, maybe relationships, financial, whatever it might be, but their faith has remained unshaken. I can remember Nick and I visiting a dear old parishioner from Pennycook Northkirk when I was doing some locuming there. Doreen was her name. And as we visited her just a few days before she died, she was still able to share something of her unwavering faith in God, despite the kind of life that we knew that she had lived, despite losing her husband many, many years before. She was still demonstrating that unwavering faith in her God. And it wasn't naive. It was born through circumstance. It was born through trials. It was born through joys. But she was still able to recount that as God had been faithful in the years before, he would be faithful in the days to come. And perhaps there's something about that, about reminding ourselves of how we feel God has been with us in the past, so that it actually impacts and influences how we live our life now. When we reflect on our own journey, can we say, as David did, I will go in the strength of the Lord? That God's past faithfulness gives us the courage to trust him with our future. And again, as we think about the life of David, the life of many of those who we read in the scriptures, these were not supermen and superwomen, ordinary men and ordinary women, with all that life and more could throw at them. And yet they were able to trust in God's faithfulness. Perhaps the third thing that we can learn from Psalm 71 is that now David, as an older man, calls on God's continued faithfulness. He acknowledges that his enemies are still present, but he knows that God is the one who upholds him. As he's entered the university of the third age, David doesn't retreat into silence. Instead, he wants to share and declare the goodness of God. He says in verse 20, you have shown me great and severe troubles shall revive me again. It's almost as if even through those difficulties and those trials that his faith has been rekindled somehow. Perhaps it's that David's confidence is not based on his own strength. It's not based on his own abilities or what he can bring to a particular situation. But it's based on the character of God. The God who is unchanging. That God's faithfulness in the past assures him that he will continue to revive him. Perhaps as we age, we need to think about the ways in which we can share something of God's faithfulness to us through our words and through our example. David has never been shy to say how he feels in the Psalms. That's why they are so frequently thumbed. Because he is honest about how he feels. He's content to voice all his feelings to God. But in a lot of those Psalms, we find that he comes back to that place where, despite all that he has gone through, his own misdemeanors, or the external circumstances that have affected him, that somehow God has been there. That somehow God has remained faithful to him. And at the end of that psalm, David is still able to declare God's righteousness. He says, "My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing to you, and my soul which you have redeemed." This psalm speaks about faithfulness, the faithfulness of God. It speaks about the reality of life. That David's life simply just wasn't about surviving. But that despite circumstances, despite his age, he still wanted to declare the goodness of God. He was committed to lifting his voice in praise. David shows us that worship is not just an activity, but a lifestyle. Perhaps you can think back to occasions where you've turned up at church and you thought, "Why am I here? I don't want to be here. I don't feel like being here. It's not how I feel." And yet, during those occasions, when we are faced with those feelings, perhaps reading through Psalm 71 might help. As we recognise and remember all that David went through and all the feelings that he must have felt. And yet as he sat there, as we sit Sunday by Sunday in the quiet of this place where so many have gone before us, or whatever church you have come from, can we choose to put our place, to put ourselves in a place where we recognise God's faithfulness? Perhaps where we can begin to declare God's greatness and ask him to work again in our lives. I've not really touched on our New Testament reading this morning, but it's still an account of faithfulness in the face of difficulties and trials. Jesus being rejected by his own people, and yet still recognising God's faithfulness towards him, embracing God's bigger plan, expecting opposition and trials, and yet remaining committed to God's mission in the world. So perhaps a combination of this psalm that perhaps we might want to read again when we get home, and then reading our gospel lesson again, we can begin to see that faithfulness of God, that thread that runs through Scripture. And for those of us who might be struggling today, whether that be through external pressures, ongoing health challenges, perhaps even simply the weariness of life, Psalm 71 calls us to renew our trust in God. He is our refuge, our hope, our rock, and he will never leave us or forsake us. And perhaps our simple response this day is to be a little like David. Let us edge towards that direction where we trust in the Lord, perhaps just a little bit more. Even if it's with a whisper, faith as small as a mustard seed, we can share some testimony to his faithfulness, not just for ourselves, but for those around us, and give thanks to God for his faithfulness and his trustworthiness to us down through these years.